Hi, I'm Zonva Lyons, and this is the Liberating Motherhood Podcast. This episode is going to be a little bit different. You might have noticed that I did not open with a vignette. I also don't have a guest to introduce because I am doing this episode on my own. And the reason that I'm doing that, well, there's a couple of reasons. But the main reason is that I did an AMA last week, and I was inundated with questions about how you sustain hope, how you avoid despair, how you move forward in a climate that feels so very, very dark. And it occurred to me that I ask a lot of other people about these issues, and I write a lot about these issues, but that I have not ever given myself the chance to speak directly with my voice instead of my words to you, my readers, about how I feel about the current political climate. So I'm sort of conceiving this as like the after-school special of Liberating Motherhood, where I want to bring you, my listeners, in and talk to you about what's happening in the world and hopefully offer you something of value that makes you feel a little bit less terrified and a little bit less terrorized. I'm doing this episode sort of informally. I don't really plan to edit it. Usually I edit out my worst mistakes and my trains of thought and all of that, barking dogs, etc. And usually I also enter with extensive notes because I'm interviewing somebody else. But this one's going to just be sort of off of the cuff because I feel like that's the approach that gives the most fidelity to what I'm going for, which is that I'm bringing you friends in and hoping to help you. There's this trope online where people will say, I'm going to hold your hand while I say this, and then they'll tell you something about the current political climate. And the first time I saw that, I thought, oh, that's really lovely. I understand the message that they're conveying, and now I'm tired of seeing it. But the vibe of this episode is going to sort of be that. So, you know, if you were here with me in my office, I would be holding your hand and I would be hugging you and I would be assuring you that we're all in this together. But you're not here, so me saying that feels a little cheesy. But please know that if you're in the fight for justice, like, I'm in it with you and I care about you and care about building solidarity with as many people as I can. So that is why I'm doing this episode. So a little bit of framing is that a lot of you are really, really scared right now. And I understand why. Fear is a reaction that makes sense. It's not that you're crazy. It's not that you're overreacting. It's that the world is a really scary place. But, and this but is important, I want to add that the world has always been a really scary place. And I'm sure you've heard that before. And you often hear it in sort of a guilting and shaming way of like, well, if you're only just scared now, that means you're really privileged. And that's true, but I think it's not useful for helping people figure out how to deal with their fear. So I just want to add the framing that things have been dark now for a long time. No matter how you define that darkness, whether you define it as mass incarceration or racism or misogyny, none of those things were invented by Donald Trump, and none of those things will go away when he is gone. He will be gone eventually, one way or another, and we must heed the lessons that we have learned during this time to keep pushing forward for more progress. We can only get free if we keep pushing on, and I feel that one of the mistakes that many activists have made has been to, when things seem a little bit better, to assume, okay, like, the world is healing now and it's all going to be okay. So again, the world has always been a dark and scary place, but here's something else the world has always been. The world has always, always been a place where people have come together, no matter how scary things were, and built community and built joy and pushed back, even when they were surrounded by nothing but despair. I have a number of friends whose parents or grandparents are Holocaust survivors. And I think about them a lot because I think about the immense despair their relatives must have faced, and the very real horror that their relatives faced when they watched loved ones die. You know, the horror wasn't theoretical. The fear wasn't an overreaction. It was really happening all around them. And I think it probably did feel like the end of the world. And for a lot of people, it was the end of the world. But something else happened, which was that the world did continue on and people changed things. And eventually it ended because people ended it. Because, not of war, but because of people and activism. And as a result of that, you know, my friends whose relatives are Holocaust survivors get to be here with me now. There is always, as long as there is humanity and a planet, there is always a tomorrow and there is always a future. Even when tomorrow is dark and even when the future seems bleak, we can always change things as long as we're here. So I want you, my listeners, to hold that in your minds and hearts, that we can always change things. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what I think activism needs to be in this moment and what I think activists need to do. The thing I want to start with saying again is the incredible importance of hope. Hope is not foolish. Hope is not naive. Hope is an absolute necessity for us to keep going. Because when we feel despair, we stop. And that is what fascism thrives on. Authoritarianism thrives on demoralization. They want you to feel afraid. This week, when I recorded this, I think this will be released a week after I recorded it, the journalist Don Lemon was arrested. And this was interesting to me for a number of reasons. One of them was that I always perceived Don Lemon as a moderate and maybe a little right-leaning, because until the Trump administration, he was often pushing back on leftists. And so the fact that he, someone who is decidedly not a radical, was arrested can feel particularly frightening. And it's also a grave injustice to him personally and to the people who love him. And I don't want to lose sight of that, that this is like a real human being who this has happened to. But the real purpose of arresting Don Lemon was not really to arrest Don Lemon, because Don Lemon is not the biggest threat to the administration or to racism or to sexism or to xenophobia or to any of the values that this administration upholds. Don Lemon was arrested as a symbol to scare people. And it has already worked. I see in so many groups, you know, they're arresting journalists now. It's over, it's over, it's over. And it's not over, because they're not arresting all journalists. They can't kill us all. They can't arrest us all. And while I never want to lose sight, again, of the tragedy unfolding, the primary purpose of the tragedy right now is to scare you so that you don't use your voice. It's to convince you that you should just put your head down and get in line. And ideally, they want you to try to convince other people to be scared too, to pick fights with people online, to tell them that it is hopeless, to tell them that donating money or volunteering or protesting or calling your representatives, those things are all stupid and naive and they're not going to change anything. So if you have fallen into that despair trap because of your completely understandable fear, I really want you to pull yourself out of that trap and stop trying to pull other people in, at the very least. Despair is never, ever a tool of activism. Please remember that. The other thing that I want you to remember is that you are, and I'm going to talk about this in more detail in a couple of weeks when I have Loretta Ross on the podcast. So I did not come up with this idea. This is something Loretta Ross talks about, and she draws on the work of people like Adrienne Marie Brown when talking about it. And what she says on the podcast, and what I agree with and have been trying to say, is that we are but one link in a chain, one part of a long history that extends backwards to our ancestors and forward to our great-great-great-great-grandchildren and hopefully to a more just world. Activism is not something you do one time in a very frenzied weekend. It's something that you do over the course of a lifetime. It is a marathon, not a sprint. And we are not, as individuals, going to be heroes who fix everything. And we have to get away from this mindset that, well, I'm here now, so it's going to get fixed. You are here as a link in the chain to freedom, and that's it. And as Loretta will say on the podcast that I'm releasing in a couple of weeks, your job is to just not drop your link. You have to do the next best thing that is in front of you rather than allow despair to stop you. I like to think about, particularly since I write about women's issues, I like to reflect on the horrors that my foremothers survived. For Black women, it was being enslaved, surviving the Jim Crow South, surviving lynchings, surviving all kinds of sexualized racist violence. For more affluent women in the United States, it was coverture, it was legalized rape, it was legalized violence, it was not being able to have a bank account or a home that you owned until the 1970s, it was having no legal right to your children if you divorced until very recently. And these women survived and pressed on, and they lobbied for the very changes that we enjoy today. The right to have a bank account, the right to have a mortgage, all of these things. And so if they could survive this, then I could survive what I'm surviving. And I can do my part to ensure that the next generation has it a little bit better. Despair is a betrayal of your foremothers and your ancestors. It is a betrayal of your children and your grandchildren. Now, if you were in a dark moment, hearing me say that about despair may actually make you feel more despair. So I don't want you to feel that way. What I want you to know is that there's the emotion of despair and there is the behavior of despair. It is normal to feel terrified, to feel depressed, to worry if it all matters. And when you start to feel that, that is your body's way of telling you that you need to step back and take a break. Fascism really tries to create a sense of urgency and to try to make us think that we must focus on this one very important thing right now and abandon everything else. And when we do that, we burn ourselves out. This, again, it's not a sprint. You know, not showing up for the protest this weekend or next weekend is not a betrayal if you need to do that to keep yourself sane. What is a betrayal is not doing the self-care that is necessary so that you can be in the game for the long haul. The urgency is your enemy. Pleasure, rest, self-care are not selfish. They are vital. You have to step back. You have to, whatever it means, you have to go on the media diet. You have to spend time with friends. You have to find ways to enjoy your life so that you can build the energy to sustain moving forward in your activism. Another thing that I would like for you to consider is that social media has done wonderful things in many ways for amplifying voices. I am in many ways here because of social media. But social media also allows people to amplify their voices even if they don't have any real skills or credibility. And there are a lot of people right now talking with great authority about what this moment means and what's happening and what we need to do. And often the only thing that gives them authority is their own assertion that they're entitled to it. They don't actually know what they're talking about. So I would urge listeners to listen to the people who have been in this fight for a long time. People who have seen backlash bubble up and be suppressed. People who have survived dark moments, people who worked on anti-apartheid legislation, people who survived the Jim Crow South, because these are the people who know how we survive, how we thrive, and how we build better. These are the people to trust. And these people, while they are all sounding alarm bells that we must act, that we must care, that this is scary, all of that, they are all also telling us that we must not despair and we must not give up. The people with the greatest authority and the greatest experience are all in lockstep that we have to keep fighting, because things only change when we change them. So the next time you see some social media post trying to tell you that, you know, we are all going to end up in concentration camps, that the world is going to end forever and that everything is hopeless forever, I want you to remember that the people who are actually doing the work are not telling you that, because they want you to come join them in the work, not hide under your desk in your office and keep consuming social media and keep consuming despair. I hope that you will, when you do feel despair, you'll heed the message to take a break and to step back, and you will stop at the emotion of despair and not move on to the action of despair. And the action of despair is the action of not doing anything, of consuming more things that make you hopeless and of trying to make other people hopeless. I just beg of you that you do that. You know, while we're talking about hope, I also want to talk about the tyranny of blind hope. And now that I've said that, I realize that that's unfortunate phrasing. We use blind to mean like unthinking, and it's really ableist. So I apologize for using that phrase, and like, I'm not going to edit it out, because again, I want to draw people's attention to, we can make mistakes and correct them, rather than like, we can never make mistakes and a mistake is unforgivable. That's a side tangent. So back to the tyranny of what I'll call unthinking, naive hope. And what that is this idea of destiny, that things just change. You know, women eventually got the right to vote, and so that means this thing will eventually happen. You know, slavery eventually ended, and so that means this thing will happen. Things don't happen randomly because goodness is predestined. Things change because we change them. And I know that I keep saying that, but it's just so important for us to realize that all of us play a role in these movements, and we must all do the next best thing to make things change. We must all know that the change is not going to come immediately. You showing up at that protest is not going to make the people in power say, oh, well, she's finally shown up to the movement, so I guess we have to change everything. It's about all of us keeping going. And the way that all of us keep going is through something that is so challenging for many of us, which is building community and building solidarity across difference. We do not have to accept racists. We do not have to accept abuse from our fellow activists. But we do have to try to build solidarity wherever we can with people we may not like or disagree with people who are late to the party, with people who once participated in the wrong party, with people who have been wrong, because we need numbers and we need all of us. And we need you, you who is listening to this. Everyone is vital. It's never too late to join. You can start today. So, yeah, I mean, it's scary. And I hate the expression holding space, because it's just lost all meaning with like the weird weaponized therapy speak that has become so a part of our world. But if I didn't hate it, I would say, you know, I want to hold space for your despair. But I also want to provide a site of hope where you can cultivate hope. And I want to give you some ideas about some things that can help you cultivate hope. I think really reflecting on the truth of our circumstances is so important, because when we really reflect on what the world has looked like for a long time, the thing that becomes clear is that the United States has always been a fascist country for a large number of the people who live here. For Indigenous people, for Black Americans, for poor people, for disabled people. There is a long history of killing people, of imprisoning people, and of torturing people for who they are, and completely robbing people of access to the criminal justice system. I urge you to go visit a prison and see how many people are wrongly or unfairly incarcerated and how they are treated there. This is not new, and it's very upsetting, and it's easy to get demoralized thinking about it. But when we recognize that this is not new, then we can draw on the lessons of people who have fought it before And I know I already said that, but I'm just saying it again, because the other thing that happens when we realize that this is not new is that we are able to consider that we have already come out of many dark moments. Slavery no longer exists in this country. So many things that were once commonplace are now at least questioned and often banned. The very fact that you are hearing my voice is a sign of change, because we are now talking about the ways that we exploit women. We are now giving women the opportunity to talk about that. 100 years ago, even with this technology, it would not have been possible for me to safely reach you. I could have been put in a mental institution or sterilized against my will or beaten by my husband, which would have been legal, or had my children taken from me. Things are objectively better for me now than they were for my ancestors. And so there's hope in reflecting on that and reflecting on all the sacrifices our foremothers made, on all the fears they faced to give us this greatly imperfect and terrifying, but objectively a much better world. So I hope you'll consider that. In terms of what we need to be doing right now, the single most important thing for you to do is to get connected to your local community. The stuff that is happening in your local community is what is going to affect your life the most. And that is why it's so hard to make sweeping statements about like what it is like as a person in the United States right now. Because what it is like for an immigrant in Minneapolis right now is very, very different from what it is like for me right now. And that's related to the cultural, political, and community context of your local area. So rather than obsessing over what's happening at the federal level or what's happening somewhere else, I want you to learn about what's happening where you live. What is the school board up to? What is the sheriff's department up to? Because the sheriff's department is making determinations about how police behave, usually depending on the structure of your local police department. Sometimes it's somebody else. And also how jails are run. What is your county or city commission doing? What's being offered at your local library? What are your local representatives doing? These people tend to be much more accessible to you. You know, you can go to your state representative's office and you'll be one of just a few doing that. And so they have a real incentive to listen to you. There are often measures passed at the local level that can really change lives that would never be passed at the federal level. As an example, right now in my community, there is a very serious measure being considered by our county commission that would greatly limit ICE access to our neighbors. And that would really make a difference, not for everyone everywhere, but for people here. Similarly, our local jail is in absolute crisis because of the incompetent leadership of the sheriff running it, who was preceded by numerous incompetent leaders. And as a result, people have died. And protesters who go to jail are in danger of dying. So that's something that, you know, I can hold those representatives to account in a way that I cannot hold Donald Trump to account. Local elections really matter. Most people don't vote in them. And when they do, they don't understand who they're voting for. A lot of judges are elected. You know, judges determine things ranging from family court outcomes to sentences to how we handle protests, just everything that you can imagine. So I would really encourage you to connect to local political groups and show up. Like, pick one thing you want to observe. Maybe you become the person who goes to every school board meeting. Maybe you become the person who puts pressure on your local sheriff. Just pick one thing and do it, because when we pick one thing and do it well, we can be a lot more effective than if we try to do something about everything. And this is something I've really had to learn as someone who's been an activist for a long time, is it's really easy to see, well, this is the travesty going on right now, and so I need to put all of my energy into that. But then there's going to be another travesty, and so you never accumulate expertise. And this is kind of part of the pattern of fascism, is that there is the despair of the moment, the crisis of the moment that distracts you. So what you'll see in my work is that I mostly still focus on misogyny, because misogyny continues to exist and continues to kill and torture and harm people no matter what else is happening in the world. And misogyny shapes the things that are happening. You know, if you are an immigrant for whom misogyny is an issue, it's going to be worse for you. If you are a woman in prison, then you are going to have the additional oppression of misogyny. So this is where I have chosen to become an expert and continue to apply my expertise. And sometimes it's the issue of the moment and sometimes it's not. So I would just ask you to think about where you can apply your own expertise, where you can apply your own skills, and really just push and push and push as far in as you can. And then trust that your friends and neighbors are going to do the same thing on the topics for which they are experts. And rather than yelling at people to talk about what you think they should talk about, listen to other experts, trust them to cover their areas of expertise, and you cover yours. You know, another important thing is that activism is not always visible. You know, providing childcare to the woman who lives next door so that she can go apply for a job so she can get away from her abuser, that's really important activism. And it's something that you can only do if you are invested in and get to know your community. One of the dynamics that we see as social media grows to permeate all of our lives is this sort of apologism for not investing in other people. You know, it's too much to respond to texts. I'm too tired. I don't like showing up for events. And I get it. Like, I'm an introvert. I need a lot of time alone. I hate working in groups. I would rather do anything than have to do a group project. But the reality is, like, I can't do much good in the world if I don't know my neighbors, if I don't know what my friends need, if I'm not connected to local organizations. And what I have found is that the more you suspend your own hostility to doing that stuff, the more you say, like, I'm going to show up for this event, even though I really don't fucking feel like it, the more it becomes rewarding and the less daunting it feels and the more opportunities you have to make really meaningful and sometimes immediate change. So get involved in your local communities. The other thing, please call your representatives. There's been a real push on the left, unfortunately, to convince you that voting doesn't matter, that your representatives don't matter, blah, blah, blah. Our system sucks, but it sucks because the wrong people are running, the wrong people are voting, and people are voting for the wrong people. We can change it, and we have a moral obligation to put pressure on the imperfect and sometimes terrible people who hold political office, because they actually do listen to calls and emails. They keep tallies. They change their votes based on tallies. And the research shows us that those on the right call a lot more than those on the left. And that's not an accident, because there's been a concerted effort to demoralize those on the left, to convince them that elections don't matter, that elected officials don't matter, all of that. So give that up, start calling. It also feels really good. It doesn't take long. You just call, you leave a message. You can say whatever you want. Don't make threats, because they'll put you in jail. And then you really feel like you've done something, because you have. And sometimes feeling like you've done something is an important antidote to despair. So those are the two things that I would most like for you to do. I would like for you to stop arguing with people online. It's not going to help you, and it's going to erode your sense of community. I would like for you to stop consuming media that makes you miserable. You know, you do need to be informed about the world, but that does not mean you have to doom scroll all day. And you can also pick one thing to become really informed about. There's no way you can know everything that's going on in the world, and it's an oppressive illusion to make you think otherwise. So that's what I've got. That's what I have for this after school special. I want you to know that it's okay to be scared, and that you should turn to others and vocalize your fear. And sometimes you'll be the person vocalizing your fear, and sometimes you'll be the person offering reassurance that there's hope. And I want to be, for you, the person offering reassurance that there is hope, because everything we do matters. There are more of us than there are of them, no matter how you define us and them. And we can turn this around. We need you. We need everybody listening. And I need everyone listening to understand that this is a long fight. It is a fight that extends backwards hundreds of years and will extend forwards hundreds more. But it is a fight that we have a moral obligation to participate in, and that means not giving up before the fight has even really begun. I'm so glad that you're here listening. I'm so grateful to everyone who is in the fight, however they can be. Please find a way to pick up your link in the chain and do what you can. And I will be back next week with more advice from people with more expertise than me about what you can do to really help us shape a better world. I'm here with you in it. If you ever need a pick-me-up, then feel free to comment, and I will try to give you a reason to feel hope. Others in the comments may as well, too. We're here together, even if it's across distance, and even if all you can hear is my voice, and it matters. We can change this, so let's do it.